David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. Today, I'm so excited because we have a very special guest with us today. It's David Roylance. He is a remarkable individual. He is an author, and he also is a voice coach. He's a specialist when it comes to voice, and he's going to explain more about that, but it's very interesting. He has a lot of different things to tell you about today that you could use in your everyday life to enhance yourself and elevate yourself to new levels. So David, tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Thank you, Stacey. I am a multiple Amazon bestselling author. My main piece is a book named Be Seen, Be Heard, Get Paid What You're Worth. And it's key for me when I'm working with people that they do get paid what they are worth. A lot of my clients are women who are in some way stuck and often surrounded by men who are not listening to them. And I help them develop a powerful voice. A voice that perhaps in a boardroom or in front of an audience makes people listen and makes people see someone who's key. Yes. And that normally, and a key and valuable, that's a huge thing. Yes. During lockdown in 2020, I got an award from Women in Banking and Finance, who I have a very close relationship with, and they named me one of the top 40 people globally helping women to get promotions within the banking space. Yeah. And so I like to think of myself as an award-winning coach in that respect. This all came from me coming down to London in the early 90s and having a three-year drama training as a professional actor, working as a professional actor, working and running my own theatre company, and then discovering that I needed to make money rather than throw money away, and found that people really resonated with my message around the voice. Wow. And that's where it all kind of springs from, really. When I was at drama college, I was there at Guildhall School of Music and Drama in London, one of the top three conservatoire trainings in the world at that time. And I was there with Daniel Craig, and I was there with Ewan McGregor, who I used to share a flat with. For 6 months, and Damian Lewis, and names you can conjure with, but most importantly, I met a lady named Patsy Rodenberg, and I had a three-year professional voice training from her. Patsy's the world's number one, and she has a school in New York, and she was the National Theatre voice coach. And she did work with Barack Obama in his first presidential election campaign.
Wow. I find that really intriguing. You know, it was funny because like earlier before the show began, we were talking about how voice and how we exemplify our voice has such an impact on society.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of times people will say things and they will say it the way they think it should be heard. And they haven't really, you know, looked at their audience or looked at the person they're speaking to and really get an idea of what type of characteristics that person has, who that person is, you know. And because a lot of times, if you want to be successful, if you want to do well, if you want to develop a good relationship with a person, you have to understand who they are and then speak to them so they are compliant and they respect you and they will have a feeling of bond. So and then you could have a more yes. meaningful conversation, and whatever your goal is in that conversation, you can reach that goal if you voice and speak in a way that's going to resonate with that other individual. Do you feel the same way?
I do indeed, and that is something that can only happen if you are present in yourself. To have presence for other people, you have to be present in yourself. And through life, we're going to meet lots of people who are not present in themselves because they're deep in their own head. And maybe they're operating from fear, or maybe they're operating from scarcity, but what they present to you of themselves is not authentic. There are three different spaces that human beings can occupy at any one time, but only one of those three spaces is a space of being present in yourself. So I think of them as circles of energy that we emanate. And say that the first circle of energy is the kind of energy that we use when we're trying to be invisible, when we hope that nobody.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Notices us.
Yes.
We're, really inside, and that's like it's the flight element of fight or flight.
Yes.
And then there's and so that makes people go backwards, and that changes their energy, and it makes it very hard. So it's a stress default for a lot of people. And what the science tells us is actually that first circle of energy, that desire to be invisible, is more likely to be a female stress default than a male stress default. So it's not hard and fast, but much more likely that when women are in conversations or in a boardroom or they're uncomfortable, they'll go back into that space, which then makes it hard to get a voice out because your energy is going back. And then there's at the very front, there's this kind of what I call the convincing state, where it's all a little bit too loud and a little bit too pushy, which is more the fight aspect of fight or flight. And that's very much more likely to be a male stress default. And I think of it, at all of those times that I've been sold to very badly by somebody who's trying to convince me that their product or their service is what I need. And it makes, like you were saying about that kind of bond between you and the person who's doing the selling or the communicating. None of that is possible when you're in either of those two spaces. And so there's a point in the middle where you are in a state of presence. And because you're in a state of, you're present in yourself, and the way that you can tell that you're present in yourself is you're breathing in your stomach, not your chest.
Oh, very interesting.
So if the breath is in the chest, what will happen is the heart, which is the organ pretty much in charge of how much brain power you have, heart will start sending signals to the hypothalamus at the back of the brain, going, you're not safe right now. And what the hypothalamus does is go, oh, okay, and then takes all of the oxygen from the frontal lobe of the brain and stores it here, very back, because it's not evolved in any way since we lived in caves. So when the hypothalamus gets the signal, it thinks saber-tooth tiger, right? It has no complicated idea of whether we're in a, level one danger or level three danger. It just goes, no. The sucking of the oxygen and the holding it here is so that you can do a big sprint to get away from the danger. So often when I talk to people, they resonate with this idea that have you ever been in a meeting or you've been on the receiving end of some feedback, and it's been pretty unpleasant. You can't think of anything to say, but the moment that meeting's over and you're out the door and in the corridor, suddenly you think of six, seven really clever
Yes.
things you should have said or could have said in that room.
Exactly.
And the French call it the spirit of the staircase, l'esprit d'escalier. And it's that idea that suddenly you're out of danger, and suddenly all that oxygen comes back to the frontal lobe where you do all of your clever thinking.
Okay.
And
Wow.
then you recover everything. In the
That's so
same way,
interesting.
actors who forget lines on stage, just fear, just the hypothalamus going, well, if he forgets everything, he'll walk off stage. And then he'll be safe from this danger.
Yeah. Wow, that is so interesting. I find that fascinating, actually. And it makes sense, but it's just what I find so interesting is the way our body functions and how we react to things. And people don't realize it. It all goes back to science, and it goes back to the way our brain functions and how we protect ourselves as individuals. So, if you're with a person who you trust and you can relate to, you kind of let the wall down, but if
Yes.
you feel, that maybe this person is a threat in some way, the wall comes up, and then you just react just like you would if you were in a forest and all of a sudden you hear noise behind a tree. You're going to react. What can I do to protect myself just in case? And
Yes.
I think that's such a fascinating, it's so interesting the way we respond, to voice and body language and even the energies. Sometimes you could be with a person and you can pick up that negative energy or something's not right, and you may not necessarily know what it is, but you could feel that negativity, that energy. Or sometimes you're with someone and you can feel the positivity, and you know that this person is just full of greatness because you could feel it, and I find it so interesting. If you really, it seems like what I've learned throughout my years practicing, different exercises and learning about myself and how I function, I find that when you work with people and when you understand yourself, you tend to pick up more on about the other person. You're able to
Yes.
understand people. And then when you're able to understand people, I think the communication or the voice between each other kind of strengthens, and you have a better chance of bonding and working through a situation, or even being able to perform better. Like you showed the example of an actor who gets so nervous and he's breathing from his chest that he forgets all his lines and he walks off stage. I think it's the same way in the working world, and it's the same way
Oh,
with the
totally.
company too.
And I've had a lot of clients who I've had a phone call to bring them to a state of presence before they've gone in for a 360 from their manager, when previously they've gone for a 360 from their manager and they've come out feeling appalling about themselves.
Yeah.
And so it's to get, if you're in a state of presence in yourself, then your antenna, if you like, that all the other senses
Yeah.
that we mainly don't understand, that how we pick up all that information
Yeah.
in such a short space of time in order to work out, am I safe in this conversation? Am I
Yeah.
safe with this person? None of that happens at a conscious level.
Yeah.
You know,
Yes.
it's all the stuff that we don't really know yet about that we like. That's how you pick up that energy of knowing, what is this person a negative person to have in a space, or recognizing what emanates from someone who presents confidence through the act of being present, because it's like it's a position of strength and a position of vulnerability at the same time.
Right.
Whereas if someone's in that third circle space of being convincing and sort of pushing forward, it's like a show. It's like wearing a mask that isn't true.
Right. Now,
And I've done Patsy Rodenberg, my first mentor in the world of the voice. She did a lot of research into these three circles. She
yeah.
taught them to me, and in particular, she did a lot of work with young people who had been abused or bullied.
Okay.
And the symbiotic nature, the bully is always third circle, and the person who's being bullied goes into first circle. So
Okay.
what often happens, this happens a lot in the corporate world as well, all the bullies do third circle, see that they can create first circle in others, and go, oh, there's a strategy that works. So I'll just do that more
Right.
and create more of these little people who are going into hiding, because that surely that means I'm respected. And
Yeah.
actually, it's nonsense. So she's done a lot of work with young people, getting them to be in a position of presence, hold that what I call that second circle presence state
Yeah.
in front of their bully, and then she rehearses them to say the words, "I know what you did," very
Oh, wow.
simply. The bully always crumbles.
Really? Because he's
Because it's a
caught.
facade. It's always a facade. And the moment that people are together in a state of presence, magic is possible.
Wow, that's really interesting. So, when it comes to entrepreneurs, what
Yes.
kind of examples or what kind of techniques or strategies do you try to teach or suggest that they could do? Maybe they could apply it even at home and to gain those skills. So when they do have to go maybe one-on-one with a person or in a group of people, they can present themselves in a way where they'll come off positively, they'll come off strong, and they'll come off, the way that they need to in order to succeed and excel in that conversation.
Now, the first thing I do is I would want them standing at their actual height. Most people crunch their spine and
Yeah.
are smaller than they really are in this world. Or if they're in the third circle, they're sort of pushing forward. Now, and the reason that that's important is we have to get the breath really low in the abdomen, in right at the bottom of the stomach, in order to be able to get the voice moving.
Right.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
So I do a lot of work with the Alexander technique, which is, are you familiar with that, Stacey?
No, I'm not actually.
So the Alexander technique, it came from an actor whose name was Alexander, and it's and he was in the 19th century, and he was touring, doing 3-hour-long Shakespeares every night, drinking, carousing, eating after the show, going to bed, waking up, no voice.
Wow.
And this would happen every day for a period of time. And he went, you know, this is terrible. I'm in a state of anxiety every day, not speaking to anybody, in the fear that I won't be able to do my job in the evening.
Wow.
And so he began examining what he was doing, and he came up with this, which is now known as the Alexander technique. It's a system of understanding tension associated with the spine, and tension anywhere in the spine will trap the breath in the chest.
Wow.
And the moment the breath is in the chest, you can only use about a third of your natural range. So
Wow.
the influence, when I talk about, when we're making first impressions or when we're picking up first impressions from people,
Yes.
Professor Alan Pease, who's a body language expert, he's the body language expert who wrote the body language book that he called The Body Language Book. In his book, he says it takes 23 seconds to form an opinion that is then difficult to shift.
I believe it.
Right? And I say men typically make decisions in 7 seconds, and that's because men have got more neural pathways behind the eyes.
Wow.
Right? Women 14, because female neural pathways are more evenly spread through the brain.
Wow.
But 23 seconds is when we go, no, I've got enough information. This person's a waste of time.
Right.
Or I've got enough information. This person's really good. So we focus a lot on, what's the impression you're creating in that first 23 seconds?
Yeah.
And how little of that is to do with the content of what you're saying, or whether you're presenting yourself in a way that puts people at ease and
Right.
makes them go, I'm completely safe here. I can listen to
Yeah.
this. And so vocal tonality is key. And by that, I mean movement of the voice tonally is key. Because when you're listening to a voice, it's how, again, the hypothalamus is hard at work to try and find out if it's safe to be in a conversation with this person, or it's safe to listen to this person's voice.
Yeah.
And the hypothalamus is listening for tonal movement, because tonal movement means emotional engagement, which means they're telling the truth.
Right.
So when there's no tonal movement at all, the hypothalamus goes, not safe, not safe.
Right.
Which is why if you've ever in your life, Stacey, been in a lecture that's being run by someone who's speaking on a monotone,
Yeah.
it doesn't take as long to disconnect and not be able to listen to that
Very
person.
true. Yeah.
Your own safety mechanism is going, I can't tell if they're telling the truth. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to
Right.
them.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to get the posture right so that we can then work on the voice. And so one exercise that I do with people is I say to them, I'd like you to imagine you've got a piece of string starting in the very base of your spine that runs through every single vertebra in your spine, right into the skull, through the top of your head, and it runs all the way up through the ceiling of the room you're in to the floor above. And I'd like you to imagine that in the floor above, you've got a puppeteer who's holding that piece of string like that.
Wow.
Now, it's very important that nobody try and do anything or nobody act. But just the beauty is that your unconscious mind doesn't know the difference between that which is real and that which is imagined.
Right.
So if you imagine something, then it goes, oh, okay.
Right.
If you imagine you've got that piece of string there, you don't have to do anything. You imagine you've got that puppeteer on the floor above, and then I say, and so the puppeteer on the floor above just does that. They just pull the string absolutely taut. Ooh. And then I get them walking so they find out what it's like to walk at their true height
Right.
and how it feels to be walking at that true height. And what happens is people start making eye contact because they're now in a state of presence. They're not faking their height, they're not denying their height.
Right.
And people deny their height because, have you heard of the Australian expression, tall poppy?
No, I haven't.
So in Australia, they say you don't want to be a tall poppy because You get your head chopped off, right? Because the gardeners go around making sure that all the puppies are equal height. Right, so if one stands out, they go, shh, cut it off. Right, so there's this whole thing of I don't want to be a tall puppy because
My head
I'll
chopped off.
get noticed and someone will chop my head off. So but then people deny their height. Now here's the thing, I mean, this happened in the year 2011, which in the UK was year three of a recession. And I was working for somebody else at the time, and I was working with the Royal Bank of Scotland, with the Treasury Department. I'd helped their financial director move from another bank into position, and he got me in to work with his team. And it was the weirdest morning that I've ever had. And because I was delivering all this stuff and nobody was listening to me, something was very much up. As I was leaving, the phone rang and it was the people I was working for. And they said, "What the hell have you done, David? We've just been fired. We've just had fax cancelling the entire contract. What happened?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but it was really weird, and nobody was really listening, and nobody was doing the exercises." And so then it went quiet for about 3 months, and then they called me again and said, "Oh, the RBS want to start the contract again. They want to see you." So I went back in and started working with their people, and the financial director who I was working with, he and I went for lunch. We sat having lunch, and I said, "Well, what happened there? Because we were doing fine, and then you fired us, and now you, 3 months later, we're back. What happened?" He went, "Oh, well, we didn't want to waste money having you train people we were going to get rid of." And then he said these words, not pleasant words either. He said, "Since then, we've culled about a third of the company." And I asked him, "How did you do that? What criteria did you use for choosing?" And he said these words to me. He said, "We looked for the people with their heads down and we fired them."
No, really.
So there's an element of if you're not trying to create some visibility around yourself, they see you as dead weight because they don't understand what value you
That's
could,
amazing.
right? So even in the entrepreneur world, you can be the most amazing next thing, but if you're not creating the right visibility about yourself, you cannot be influential in whatever your world is. You've got to be seen, and you've got to be seen in a way that puts people at ease. Whether you're in a one-to-one conversation, whether you're networking in a small group, whether you're speaking to an audience of 100, 1,000, whether you're speaking to 1 million people on a podcast. Right, it's still got to be about making people feel at ease, because and now more than ever in 2024 around the world we've had crisis after crisis after crisis after crisis, and people's hypothalamuses are really tired of the crises.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Now, I had a word with Women in Banking and Finance last week. And they were saying it's really bad, like 40% of our membership are going, "It's too hard. I don't think we're going to bother anymore. I think I'll just leave. Or I'll just keep my head down." And so, what they're feeling is that the advancements that they've made for women in the banking space are all coming back down.
Yeah.
They're all coming back down because this just boof, boof, people are tired.
Yeah.
Now, what it does mean is that things are much more a buyer's market than they've ever been. Which means people don't want to be sold to, especially sold to badly.
Yes.
People want to feel, I get to make this decision for myself. And as long as they feel I'm in a position where I can make a decision for myself, I'm not going to get pushed, I'll stay in the conversation.
Yes.
But the moment someone goes and it's only that price till Friday,
Right.
they're like, I don't care, I'm out. Because again, the hypothalamus is now going, oh, not safe, get out.
Right.
So people, I think, need a lot more nurturing and a lot more time to
Yeah.
know that they're safe.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, you may have noticed that I'm doing this with you today in a standing position rather than a sitting position.
Actually, I didn't notice that. I didn't.
So I'm
Oh, now I
standing
notice it. Yeah, now I notice
now.
it. Yeah, you want to take a step
And
back.
so the thing is, we're on a video platform rather than in the same room. You're in the US and I'm in the UK, right?
Yeah.
Our conscious minds know that, Stacey, but our unconscious minds don't. So
Yeah.
the unconscious mind is busy trying to find all the information that it would get were you and I in the same room.
Right.
And so the more you can give it,
Yeah.
the easier it is to build rapport. And of course, the unconscious mind is always looking at hands. The conscious mind follows eyes and the unconscious mind follows hands.
Wow.
So, and particularly the palm of the hand. So it's interesting, if you ever notice what happens when someone's hands disappear when you're in a face-to-face conversation, when someone's hands go behind them, something, there's a little bit of the brain going, what are they doing with their hands? The hypothalamus going, no. What's take a step back, walk away, walk away. And so it's like, and I did a lot of this in the period that we were all in lockdown together, when people were really struggling with rapport building over Zoom. And I'd start by saying, well, stop letting people see up your nose. That's the first thing I'd say to you. Do you know what I mean? Lots of people were in that space, and then create this space where you can do it from a standing position and give people a sense of who you are. Movement is always good, kind of three dimensionality. And of course, the same thing is true when you're doing video content for your audience, you know, that you want to give people a sense of what it would be like to be with you. And so that they have a clear understanding of, would I like to be with that energy? Would I be comfortable? Would I be happy in the same room as that energy? And so what happens, people self-select in or out. It kind of doesn't matter. It's you and your audience helping each other to find out whether they want to spend more time with you.
That's very interesting. And it's so true. When I would speak with people, I would, especially if I'm in a room with someone, and either if they're sitting down, if they have their arms or their legs crossed, I feel that's a defensive mode where they're trying to protect themselves or they've already made their minds up. A lot of times when someone already has, their hands crossed or their legs crossed, it usually shows a sign that no matter what you say to me, it's going to be this way, and so it is remarkable. And I was talking to someone about body language the other day, and they're like, they understood it, but they're like, how do you know, because your bodies react in a certain way. You're sometimes subconsciously we move our body a certain way, and the person, I think they kind of got lost on the subconscious part. Like, if you're not purposely doing it, how do you really know that the person is thinking that, And I'm, and I said, because you're subconscious. And that's where they got lost, and they couldn't grasp that our body moves or reacts a certain way sometimes subconsciously, that we're not telling it what to do. It just subconsciously just reacts.
Well, it's got to work fast. That's the point. The unconscious mind works really, really fast. It's really complex. And we never get to find out what it's doing unless, unless we really find out what the stories are that we're telling ourselves that
Yeah.
kind of limit what we're doing. Yes. And are you familiar with the work of Virginia Satir?
No, I'm not actually.
She's an amazing woman, but and her work came out of the world of family therapy and working with families that were going through very difficult times. And her work was essentially stolen by a couple of people called Bandler
Oh, wow.
and Grinder, who then created NLP out of the work that they'd learned from her.
Oh, wow.
So she's a fascinating person to kind of dive into. But she identified that there are five gesture patterns that universally have the same meaning everywhere in the world except Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because in Japan there's like the level of complexity on gesture and physical meaning
Okay.
shape. Gesture. It's so precise in Japan. It's a completely different game. But she said everywhere else in the world that you go, you will find, and particularly within a family, you'll find one person who goes into this space, one person who goes into that space, and the one with arms folded, she calls it the super reasonable.
Really?
Yeah, and so it's like I'm just having a little chat with myself. So they're having this sort of internal dialogue about what is being said or whatever it is that they've seen, and so actually attempting to engage with someone who's in that space, don't do it. Waste of time. You have to wait for them to come out of it, and then you can find out what conclusion have they come to. So, I suppose the science term for it is audio digital, that sense of people who need to have a little chat with themselves before they venture an opinion. And I find her work really remarkable in kind of helping, because again, gesture pattern transforms the voice
Yes. Very true.
and the tonality that you use.
Yes.
Now, would it be useful if I shared with you as a voice specialist how I break down the three the full voice into three different areas
Oh, I'd love that.
for three different purposes. So I'd like you to imagine that we all have a natural voice that we were born with, which has a huge range. And we have a habitual voice, which is the voice that we've learned to use through childhood up to adulthood. And for many of us, it'll be, something like that. It will be about a third of the natural range. So we do a lot of work with my clients, kind of really expanding that voice. So the natural range is happening, and the voice is dancing naturally through all the different notes. Remember, that leads us back to people will feel that safety of the natural dance. So, three voices in one. What I call the warrior voice, which is the lower notes in the voice. The warrior voice is the voice of professionalism.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
It's a factual voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find when you get groups of men together, they will all do what I call the low off, which, you know, in a bar on a Friday night.
Right.
Talking about the game, that men will then use their voice as an alpha domination, and they'll form into a hierarchy on the basis of who's doing the lowest notes.
Really? Very interesting.
So credibility sits down here. And when you're using your warrior voice, you're more likely to accentuate consonant sounds rather than vowel sounds.
Wow.
That's why people think of it as factual, because emotion happens in the vowel sounds.
Wow.
Right? Which is why people think of Americans as being much more emotional than British people, because the vowel sounds tend to be longer.
Yeah.
So at the bottom of the voice, you've got your warrior voice. In the center of your voice, you've got your heart voice. And your heart voice is the voice of rapport. It's the voice of taking an interest, asking questions. Hey, Stacey, how are you today? What's going on? Right? And you can hear with the moment you go up here, the more engaged you are, the more the vowel sounds extend.
Wow.
So the more passionate we are about the thing that we speak about, the more we're going to extend the vowel sounds in the words that we speak. And that's one of the ways that people know they're telling the truth and they really mean it.
Yeah.
Now, at the top of the voice, the highest notes, what I call the head voice.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the same thing is true. Often when you get when particularly young women in a bar on a Friday night, you'll hear them forming a female alpha hierarchy with the highest notes of the voice.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about the head voice is it's really useful when you're speaking with groups because it's big emotions. It's huge emotions. So if you're like, if you have a team in your company and you want to get them really enthused, then the head voice can be really useful. Can you imagine what we can create? Let's burn the midnight oil, make it happen. Yeah, we're all, you know, I'll buy everyone a pizza, woo! You know, whatever it is, to get kind of big emotions that then transfer around a room. So the head voice, very useful. I've heard, you know, particularly if you're selling from a stage, if you're an entrepreneur and there's value in selling from a stage, and
yeah.
The great value of selling from a stage is leverage of your time.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got 100 of the perfect people in front of you and you can get the emotions high in that room and get people to buy into what's possible for them.
Yeah.
Then the head voice can be very useful. I do say to people, never use the head voice when you're in one-to-one conversation, because it'll make people want to go away.
Yeah. That's very true.
The focus is, because people always ask, yes, but what, how do I know when I should be using each voice? And I say, if we focus on extending your range so that you've got access to it all will fall into place naturally. And because the last thing I want is a client of mine thinking about their voice when they're on the stage or they're in the podcast or they're making the videos, or they're doing their TED talk, right? I wouldn't want someone on a stage going, well, I wonder which voice I should be using. Like, what would David say? You know, I want them to just be present and out there.
Yes. Definitely.
Right? So that energy transference that happens when you're present, when an audience is present with you,
Yeah.
it's palpable. You can feel it, you know.
Yeah.
And I had a revelation when I was at drama school and I was working with Patsy Rodenberg again. She was like one of the world's top Shakespeare professors, and she knows more about Shakespeare than probably anyone who's alive at the moment. And when she, the big thing for me was when I was working on a monologue
Yeah.
from A Midsummer Night's Dream, and she said to me, "You're playing this as a monologue. You're playing this as if you've got 2 pages of speech."
Yeah.
And I went, yeah, that's probably true. And she said, you need to think of it as not as a monologue. You need to think of it as a duologue, except you're the only person speaking." Right?
Yeah.
Now, who are you talking to? You're talking to the audience. You're talking to God. Doesn't matter. You choose,
Right.
right? It's a duologue. You don't know you're going to speak for 2 pages.
Right.
You know, to be or not to be, that is the question I'm putting out there, right? Right, and it's a duologue.
Yeah.
There in Hamlet is a man who's asking God to give him an answer. What should I do?
Yes.
Should I live or should I die?
Right.
And so it's a duologue between him and God.
Yes. It's very interesting.
And so then I realized, yes, of course, everything where you're speaking to an audience, nothing, you know, and particularly if you're thinking, oh, I've got a 30-minute or a 45-minute speech that I need to do, and then people proceed into their text, like, you know, what's your intention when you do this, to get it done as quickly as possible? Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
Right,
Yeah.
that's what's coming over. But you don't want to think of any of that way. You want to think about how much value can I give to my audience here.
Exactly.
And then feed off the energy that they give you
Yeah.
when something resonates, which is why silence is a huge tool. That's another thing that people are often afraid of. You
Right.
become comfortable with silence.
Yeah, that's very true.
You can get the energy back. You can feel the energy. You can understand
That's so
what's
true.
going on here.
Yes, especially in, when you speak in front of groups or you're with a group of people, sometimes you can just look at their facial expressions and just know
Yes.
exactly what they're thinking, what they like, what they dislike, just by the way their facial expressions are, or if they have their hands on their finger and they seem like they're really into you, or you
Yes.
might have people, their eyes might be wandering, and so you could kind of tell if you, the person you're talking to or the group you're talking to, if you're resonating with that group or
Yes.
that person, are you on the right track? And I think that, body language, facial expressions, that comes with body language. But I get and then, sometimes when you have that energy and you do change that level of voice and you have that energetic, that energy, I think, resonates to the group, don't you think? And then it starts.
Yes, it does. It does. When you see people's faces at ease, you know that you're in the zone. You're in the right zone. So when faces are tense and they're trying hard not to reveal what's going on, then, oh, something's going on here, right? And that leaves you with the flexibility of what do you want to do with that? With that knowledge that something's not right here. You know, you can either plow on or you can be flexible. I used to do some work on the sales team for one of my mentors named Kane Menkes, who runs Industry Rockstar, and he's marvelous. He's marvelous on the stage. But I saw him one day in the middle of in the middle of doing something, just go, right, there's a funny energy in the room. What's going on? He just called it and went, no, what's going on? Something's happening. Talk to me, talk to me. And what he did was he forced the audience out of it and they started to tell him. what was wrong. And he went, great, now we can fix that because I know what it is.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I like that approach. I like that approach. You know, like sometimes, like, you know, I was with a group of women and I was talking about something and they were interested, but it didn't seem right. And then I changed the subject a little over to something I thought they really would be interested in. And all of a sudden, their eyes, you know, got wide open and they started really, you could see that, okay, I like this, you know. And then I knew this is the right track, you know, just by, you know, you could just all of a sudden, you know, they were listening, but they weren't. It wasn't the look, you know, the right look I was looking for. And then all of a sudden, so I switched it over just a little, and then all of a sudden, you saw their eyes pop, and you saw that, you know, they kind of moved forward a little bit. So then it was like, okay, the group likes this, you know. So because you never know, you could do groups of women, but you could, you know, one audience could be completely different than the other audience. You know, you really have to pay attention to the body language, especially, you know.
And sometimes you find groups where there are people who've got a lot of influence within the group.
Yes, that's very true.
And actually, they may wield more influence with the group than you. And you kind of have to work out, you know, where are the eyes going whilst
Yeah.
I'm doing this? Who, you know, I work with a mobile phone company, and it was six people and their boss. And I was doing a day workshop. Every question I asked, everyone looked at the boss
Oh, how
before.
funny.
Oh no,
Looking for
she's.
approval.
Yeah, totally. And so I kind of had to go, like, what's going on here? Because nobody's speaking with any honesty because they're afraid of what someone might think.
Right.
So I said to her, can I have some time with you people?
Exactly.
No, so we can work out what's going on, because they're just on their best behavior, which
Yeah.
means they're not listening and they're not communicating
That's
with
tough.
each other, with me, with any kind of honesty. And you've invested money, you want something to work here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No.
That's a tough situation to be in, because if they're
Yes.
more concerned about what the person thinks, then, you know, and they're not showing you true honesty, you're kind of trapped in a situation where it's not going to evolve into something good unless, you know, that fear kind of dissolves itself.
Yeah. And that happens a lot in companies, and you need to get people away from those people who potentially could sink what it is you're doing without necessarily meaning to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now you wrote a book about now
Yes.
you recently wrote a book. I want to hear more about this book too.
There it is. Be seen, be worth, be no, be seen, be heard, get paid what you are worth.
I like that. Tell us about
And
it.
my little subtitle here, From Invisible to Superstar.
Wow.
And so in the book, I take people through, the reader through, what it would be like to work with me for 6 months. So we get the whole process. And we start with the posture and the voice and the energy. Those are the three pillars of being in charge of your impact in any room with any people. So we always start there. Once we've got past that point, and people, like, you know, people can breathe. I
Yeah.
remember I had a client once who ran a telecoms company, and she came to me and we did some Alexander technique, and I got her breathing in the stomach. She said, I've never, ever in my life done this. She'd spent
Really?
her whole life breathing from the chest.
Yeah.
So her whole life was a state of anxiety. And so it wasn't just from a, you know, and she'd approached me from a speaking perspective.
Right.
It changed the entirety of her life.
I believe it.
It changed how she was with her young children. It changed the relationship between her and her ex-husband, because whilst they'd been together, she was always in this state of anxiety.
Yeah.
Oh my God, completely different person. So that's kind of the starting point. Then we start working on what is the actual impact. Let's get specific. You know, what do you want to have at the end of this these 6 months?
Right.
I go through a process with them. I use a tool called Understand Myself, which is a questionnaire that identifies the five malleable areas of personality and gives people a sense of where they are on that. And I look at that from the perspective, the social science, if you like, of this is there are two particular areas in those five malleable areas that are of interest to me. And one is conscientiousness. How hard are you willing to work? Are you willing to work when you don't want to, on the basis that your life will be better tomorrow if you do? Right now, here's the interesting thing. There's no difference between men and women when it comes to conscientiousness. They're both equally likely to be conscientious. But then we also look at the score for agreeableness.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion, capital at risk.
Now, the women are typically 20% more agreeable than men. So the average score of 100 people for women will be 61, and the average score for 100 men will be 41.
Wow, I see that.
And what you find is, this is particularly in the corporate world, what you find is I work with a lot of women who are really high conscientious and really high agreeable. What it means is they pick up a lot of work that they don't get credit for that's being delivered to them by men who are really conscientious and really low agreeable. Which is why a lot of men get promotions more easily. Like any law firm in any country, all the men will walk into the boss's office and go, "Pay me more." Every 6 months, "Pay me more." They might get a yes and they might get a no. All the women will go, "I couldn't do that."
Oh, really? Wow.
So a lot of the work is like, let's get that agreeableness score down. They're like, hell yeah, let's get that agreeableness score down. Not so much that you're unpleasant, but enough for people to see you as a credible force for change. Right? Because the number of times that companies rung me and go, "Oh, we'd love you to work with Kate because Kate's lovely, but we really like her, but she's really lightweight." How really, honestly, yeah, we can't put her in front of senior stakeholders because she's really lightweight, and she's nothing of the sort when you actually meet Kate or meet whoever. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
They
but
stereotype
somehow
it.
what they've done is they've let people see or hear that. So if we want to get that agreeableness down, we're going to have to work on your warrior voice. We're going to have to build those notes. And an example I often use is Margaret Thatcher, the first British premier to work with a voice coach, lowered her voice by an octave. It's almost unheard of. The level of work she did to lower that voice in order to control an all-male cabinet. In 1979, 3% of Britain's parliament was female, and the prime minister happened to be one of them. But she went in with a hard voice up here, right? And it's all on YouTube. You can see that how she went in 79 to Downing Street and let us bring light. And then she found she had a full all-male cabinet who just did what the hell they wanted. And so she went, okay, she got herself a voice coach, she lowered that voice, and she used it to win her second term. because she was in real trouble before that election, and people
Yeah.
don't remember that. But then suddenly the lady's not for turning is the speech that people remember the most. Hell, and what's funny is at the time all the satirists started then characterizing her as a man. A woman who wears a man's suit.
Yeah.
Interesting that, but she got what she wanted. She got the outcome.
Yes.
Now, my thing is, what a shame that that then became the only voice that she used. If you use the whole voice,
Right.
then what happens is you become authentic to who you are with everyone you meet. But you've got this voice at your disposal.
Right.
Right? It gives you flexibility. Flexibility in how others see you and how you can choose to be seen by
Yeah.
others. Right? I often ask a client in the corporate space, I say, look, let's go into your boss's office. You do it, I can't do it because I'm not in the company. But go into your boss's office and don't ask for the money. But what you ask is, look, if I come in here in 6 months' time and ask for more money, what do you need to see? What do you need to hear that means it would be a no-brainer for you to say yes? And what happens with that question is it's so precise that people start giving you truthful feedback.
Yes.
It's like you've given them permission to actually tell you something you need to know. Because
Wow.
often people are terrible with giving feedback
Yes.
because the questions we ask aren't nearly good enough.
Yes.
But if we make it specific, then people go, oh, I can tell you. And that's how we mainly find out what are we doing over the next 6 months? Well, we're going to show them what they need to see and hear.
Right.
So that you're going to go in 6 months and say, 30% please, or 40% please, whatever it is. And, we want you to get it because they see and hear someone of value that extends far beyond the pay rise itself.
Wow, I like that advice. Most people first are fearful to go in the office and ask, and then second of all, they don't ask the right questions, like you say. But if you go in there and you're not asking for money right away, but you're asking, what do you need to see in me in the next 6 months in order to receive a pay raise, then they will give you honest feedback. And that actually can guide you to success and elevation in in the business world, and probably gain you more confidence once you achieve it.
Exactly. And then you f start finding out where people value you already, and you also start finding out what you need to work on. It's like, well, if I were to ask a client, find out what values people attribute to you. Even a business owner, find out what your clients value about
Right.
you, about being in a room with you. And they'll get good quality information.
Right.
But they'll also hear what words are not being used, and they'll go, oh, right. I thought they might say that. Right, well, we need to build that if you want people to say that. What
Right.
does that look like? What does that sound like?
Right, exactly. I love it.
Then we can chart that journey. And certainly with entrepreneurs, my publisher is now my business partner. So what we've done is we've incorporated the publishing within Speak to Shine as a company, which means an expert's book is something that we now do.
Right.
So we can give people a voice in the written word,
Right.
and then we can help them with a voice with the spoken word as well. Because can you imagine if you were to say spend 6 months creating a book. We get the book out, we get it to the number one on Amazon. We create a book launch event where you can speak. where we can take lots of video content of you being amazing on a stage.
Right.
You know, and we coach you to be that level of confident, strong, authentic,
Yes.
amazing, passionate on a stage. Now we've easily got the next 3 months' marketing content all sorted that one afternoon, right? And we invite your clients, we invite your prospective clients, we invite your friends, we find a really cool venue, we make it the most amazing experience for everyone who's there.
Yeah.
Then we start going, okay, well, would you like to do that on a TEDx stage? Yes. Would you agree that a TEDx stage is probably the highest level of credibility that an entrepreneur can have? Yes, most people agree that that's the case.
Yes.
Now, the thing is that 95% of people who do a TEDx stick it on YouTube and that's that. So actually, they don't leverage the asset that you get having
Right.
done a TEDx. So there's a process of, I can't guarantee people a TEDx, but I can work with them to create something that's most likely to be accepted by some of, or at least one of the organizers that I'm working with, assuming the topic fits the topic that they want to play with.
Right.
And again, we always do this from a perspective of generosity, because you know the rule with TED is you're not selling.
Yes.
So it's always about sharing. And again, that's the value of it. It's not a sales tool, it's a marketing tool. And the
Exactly.
fact that you're not selling is brilliant when you're living in a buyer's world, buyer's marketplace.
A hundred
Again, all of
percent.
that makes people feel safe. And then it's all about, we'll leverage that to help you grow your personal brand alongside your business brand. You know?
Right. No, this is it's wonderful, you know. I think so many people have everybody has a story. Everybody can learn from everybody. And the
Yes.
ability to share our stories the right way, I think it is, you know, we were talking before the show, the wisdom of words are so powerful when they're used properly. And, you know, and that's where the voice comes in, and, you know,
Yes.
and the body language, and all those things put together as one, the enthusiasm, the different levels of your voice, you know, how you present yourself, all those things could not only attract people, but you could change lives. You know, you could really motivate others to want to be better, or you're the light bulb goes off, and someone who had a question and didn't know, you know, how to solve something in their life, you might have the answer for them. So there is a million things that could happen, and you know, people will take you more seriously if you project your voice properly, if you project your body language properly, if you say things the right way, you know. And we were talking before the show, you said, you know, when you use the metaphor chicken to people, what does it mean to you? The whole classroom has a different answer. So it's
Sure. Yeah.
so you know, everybody perceives things differently, but if we learn the proper ways to exemplify our behaviors and our voice, you know, magic could happen, you know, in many ways for many different reasons. So I think what you're doing is amazing. Now that your book, where can people find your book?
On Amazon.
Oh, excellent.
It's on Amazon.com, Amazon.co.uk, Amazon.it, Amazon.de. It's on all the Amazons, definitely. That would be, yes, the best place to get a hold of the book. And if it's all right with you, what I'd love to do is offer, I did a training on the stage at the University of Glasgow last autumn. And what I thought I'd do is I'd put it online as a free training. And so I'd love to share that with your audience if you're comfortable doing that.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah. And it's at the end of the free training, there is an opportunity if people want to have a half hour of complimentary coaching with me.
Oh, that's excellent. We'll put that in the description with the link where they can find it. That way they'll be able to, you know, to see it and sign up and be able to and to experience it. So definitely.
I do a lot of these calls. Many of them do not become clients. So I don't sell unless somebody specifically would like me to.
Right.
Buyer's market. So it's like, why don't we spend some time together and then we can work out whether we want to spend some more time together, and it doesn't matter either way.
Exactly. I love it. Now, if you had to give a couple of takeaways from everything that we talked about today, what would you like to emphasize to the listeners today of some important factors that you feel can make an impact on their lives?
Yes, super. And funnily enough, I've been thinking a lot about Carl Jung and myth, and which myth are you choosing to live in? All the different kind of archetypes of the hero, the trickster, or the guru, or there's lots of them, and I saw, was lucky enough to be in the audience at the very last event that Sir Roger Moore did before his death. And he told a story when he was a young actor in Hollywood in the early 50s, and he was under contract to MGM, and he wasn't doing very well, and they sent him to a voice coach. And he said, "You're 6 foot 1," and Sir Roger said, "Yeah." And the voice coach said, "Why are you standing 5 foot 7?" And he straightened the spine, probably using the same exercise that I shared here. And he said, "The moment I stood up at 6 foot 1, I started playing the hero, and I never finished playing the hero." So, what's possible for you if you stand to your truthful height? And then what's possible for you when you can extend your voice and get access to your natural voice?
I love that.
Those are the things, really. Yeah. And then you particularly use that warrior voice to make sure nobody dismisses you as being too nice.
I like that because when you stand up, you feel confident. And when you
Yeah.
use that warrior voice, you're professional, like you said, and
Yes.
you exemplify professionalism and confidence. And that's
Yes.
what people take seriously, especially in the working world. So I think that's excellent advice. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
This has been amazing. Now, where can people find you? Where can people find you?
So people can find me. I have two different web addresses. Speaktoshine.uk is one, and davidroylance.com, Roylance, ROYLANCE.com is the other. Speak to Shine is for my entrepreneurs, and davidroylance.com is for employees who are looking for a promotion. Or work in the corporate space as well. And the best email address to get a hold of me on is hello@speaktoshine.uk.
I love it. Oh my God. This has been amazing, David. I have learned so much in this short period of time, and everything was so interesting. And I think you provided a world of information today that is very valuable, I think, for everybody that everybody can apply to their life, even if they're not an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
They
even
can.
if they're not an entrepreneur, you can change all of your relationships
Yes.
with this because it
Exactly.
allows you to resonate more honestly and live a life, actually live a life that you want to have.
Exactly.
I heard you say when I first came across your podcast, I heard you say this, anything is possible for anyone.
I truly believe that. I think people underestimate themselves, and they have to feel good about themselves. A lot of the exercises you just exemplified can make them feel good about themselves. Because when you have self-worth, you have confidence. And when you have confidence, then you can, once you feel good about yourself and you start accomplishing things, you feel like the world is in the palm of your hands. That really, if you work hard enough, you can achieve anything you want if you put your mind to it. When everybody has that capability, We just have to learn to use the proper tools to work it and be determined and use the resilience that's already in us and learn how to actually bring it out.
Yes.
This has been great. Thank you so much, David. I hope you'll be on the show again. I love talking to you.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Yes.
I've had the most amazing time, and I'm
I had a
getting
great
to
time.
know you as well. So,
This has been wonderful.
yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
I will. And you take care. And to your audience too, of course.
Thank you.